better, but still some work to do for LAFC. He is Mario Rees. I'm Dave Denholm. Mario, LAFC close to that first win on the road. They get their first point on the road, a 2-2 draw up in Portland at the hated Providence Park. It wasn't the best performance you can imagine on the road because of some of these circumstances we'll talk about, but you get that first point on the road, right?
Yeah. If before the match, Dave, you would have told me LAFC got a point on the road against a deep and talented roster like this Timbers team is, I would take that, no doubt, you know? And I just feel like the full 3 points were there, though. They were there for the black and gold to take up a man for a good chunk of that game, but just couldn't come away with that game winner. So just had that little bit of feeling like, could have had that win.
This is LAFC Plus, the podcast with Mario Rees and Dave Denholm. We are part of the broadcast crew on the English radio side. And this is episode 9 already, Mario. Can you believe that?
Episode 9. Jam-packed season. Yes. We're loving it. We're having a blast.
We do this once a week, and it's flying by. This is our 9th episode. So we did want to say for episode 10 coming up next week, we're going to begin a contest to just say thank you for the people who have started with us here. And it'll be over the course of a couple of shows, so you'll want to be involved with that. Just a reminder, keep listening. You know, find us here on YouTube if you're watching on YouTube. Find us on all your podcast places, wherever. It's going to be a contest that if you listen, you'll be involved. Let's put it that way over the next couple of weeks. But we'll start that in honor of episode 10 next week when we do episode 10. And the winner will get a pair of tickets to an LAFC game. My season tickets, in fact.
Nice, nice.
So we're making it personal. That's cool. So that'll be all down the road. Like, it starts next week, though, for episode 10. This is episode 9. Welcome to LAFC Plus. And we're going to review this match. Look, you already know probably what happened. If you don't, it's a 2-2 draw at Portland. But as Mario said, LAFC playing a man up after our old buddy Maxime Crépeau got red carded very early in the second half. By the time he was off the pitch, I think it was around minute 50, he got the red card very early in the second half. Then you go through all the VAR and all the arguing back and forth. So he goes off around minute 50. LAFC, people forget, were trailing 2-1.
Yeah.
Mario. But then this occurred. I want to play this one second, just because you're down 2-1. Yes, Maxime Crépeau gets a red card. You have a free kick literally an inch outside of the box. Well, I still thought it might have been a penalty, but apparently they said no. But Mateusz Bogusz, who had already scored in the first half, steps up and does this.
Bogusz is over it. I mean, good luck trying to get it up and over this 5-man Portland wall and then into the net with Pantemis there in the middle. But they're going to try it here. Bogusz, the goal scorer, 51st minute. LAFC up a man now, down a goal. Bogusz sends it in, and a goal! What a free kick it's in! Golazo from Mateusz Bogusz. We're tied at 2! You will not see a better free kick all season! I am stunned! The crowd is stunned! We are tied!
Yeah, it was just a beautiful effort. If you listen very closely now, you might not be able to hear it if you go back. You can actually hear the ball hitting the net as I'm making the call in the radio call. It's very faint, but you can actually hear the ball just blasting into the back of the net. Pantemis, who was obviously the backup goalkeeper who came in after the red card to Crépeau, wasn't even warmed up yet. He didn't even move. It was just Mario, and something that people that pointed out that really struck me, if you watch it, if you saw the match, or if you're that wall didn't jump. That's kind of weird. I mean, when you're only 18 feet or 18 yards and 1 inch, that's going to be very difficult if that wall jumps. Now, maybe it would have scored anyway, right? It was a great free kick. Unbelievable.
The Bogusz brace, right? I mean, that was very, very impressive. Both goals actually were top-class stuff. The turn and the finish off of Tillman's pass that led to Bogusz's first goal, that was great. And then what can you say about that free kick? I mean, just like you said, a difficult position there, just almost a PK, but not quite. So it was kind of close to the goal, and you got that wall right in front of you. How do you get it up and over and then back on the frame? But he does it there. And let's not forget, Bogusz is not even a true nine, right? He's been put there in that position this season by Cherundolo, and he's handling his business like he's supposed to. Happy, very happy for Bogusz there.
he's a false nine playing a false nine because he really is a midfielder and attacking type of midfielder. So he's a false nine playing in the false nine and yet
he's
contributing. And look, he gets up to three goals now. He's up to three. Belonga's on three. Tillman's on three, as you say. So they're getting contributions where it's not just Denis Bouanga like it was last season, right? The 20 goals. And Carlos Vela had a great season last year too, you know, numbers-wise. He certainly held his end of the bargain. But it was really a lot of times those two who were scoring the goals, realistically. This year, you're getting contributions all over, and that's a good sign. One thing we still are going to see more of, you'll likely see the usual Ryan Hollingshead amount of goals. He hasn't yet scored, so those are going to be coming, right? You'll likely start to see maybe a little bit more from Denis Bouanga even.
Right.
Like he's coming close, he's rattling the board, you know, or rattling the post every, seems like every other game at the very least. So you're still going to be get contributions. And then if things change in the summer, wink, wink, you're going to probably get more contributions from other people. One thing we do have to talk about is being up a man 40 minutes. Everybody will point to Mario. How do you feel about, like you said it a little bit, but you really got to get the win there, right? I mean, that's what everybody expects.
Yeah, I definitely felt like the win was there. It was in the grasp of LAFC and the chances were there. But then there was a chance at the very end of the match, a few chances at the very end of the match. One for Kamara that almost went in, which would have been an awesome first goal in the black and gold for Kamara. Would also have been hitting that milestone of tying Landon Donovan for second all time on the goal scoring sheet.
Yeah.
And then there was also a chance from Tillman that actually he did hit the back of the net for the game winner, but the ref called it just a split second before, a little bit early in my opinion on that. He got Nathan Ordaz with the foul there. I don't know, questionable call there for me. So definitely left a little bit of a sour taste in the mouth at the draw there.
Now we have some reaction after the match, right? We've got some video here we want to play. Set these
up. We got some Cherundolo here after the match talking about, you know, it's a positive step for LAFC being that they got the draw on the road.
The away performance was improved, and I think that was our goal leading into this game was to improve our away performances. They've been pretty up and down so far, and to find some consistency there, I thought the performance was okay. Certainly a step in the right direction. Some silly defensive errors in the first half. You know, really coming from moments with the ball that we were had some easy giveaways in the forward direction. So really being punished for every mistake, but sometimes that's a good thing. And I think we dug ourselves into a deeper hole than we needed to today at times, so a bit naive in the first half, but the team fought back well, played a lot of good football, created some good chances, so we're very happy with that.
And then we have Tillman here talking about the very, you know, the dying seconds of the game where the foul came into play here, and here's his words on that.
Nothing. I just saw the ball coming towards me, scored it, and the ref just whistles during the shot. In my opinion, he could have just waited and then checked it after. If there's a foul, it's a foul, okay, but he could just let it run and then check it after.
There you go, Dave.
Yeah, I respect what Timothy points out there. I hadn't thought of it that angle, that you do have the VAR, which, you know, I hate. My initial thought was, and people are probably not going to like this, Mario, I thought referees often call that a foul. Now, you could argue if it is or not. I could see it both ways, to be perfectly honest. I could understand if someone says, I don't think that's a foul. But the referees, like his gut instinct was to quickly blow that foul. Now, is that just because they always do that in the box in that sense? Do they give, you know, the defenses more leeway? They're going to call the foul on the offense more there? Is that just kind of the – or did he really just see it that way? And maybe, yeah, he blows the whistle too soon because, as Timothy Tillman pointed out, you can go to VAR later.
Yeah.
But I kind of think in his gut he knew that was a foul. Like, he wasn't waiting till the play's over and going, oh, okay, I'm going to call it a foul since he scored the goal. Because he scored the goal, you know, we see that sometimes. You wonder in other sports, like, you know, did he call that because the – basket didn't go in on the shot, like, oh, now it's a foul, you know, in the NBA, like a guy drives down the lane. If it scores, they don't call the foul, but somehow if he misses the layup, then they call, you know, that kind of stuff. I honestly thought it was a foul on Ordaz. Not because Ordaz really did anything wrong. You could say it wasn't a foul. I wouldn't argue. If the ref hadn't called it, LAFC would have deserved the win. Nice hustle at the end to scrap in a goal, whatever. But I could, like, if he calls that a foul, Mario, I can't argue too much about it. That's just,
yeah. You know. I feel there was some tugging on both ways. That both yeah. sides, there was a little bit of tugging. There was a shoulder pull on Ordaz, his shoulder bringing him down a little bit. There was a little bit of shorts that were being pulled. So it yeah, it was definitely, it was a close one there. But you know who had a great game in that game? Was Evander. Evander was the man of the match for me on the Portland side, in my opinion. He played a great game for the Timbers. It seemed like it was just one of those games where everything was going right for him. Even that chip that he passed in for Mora, and then Mora missed it, but the ball went in anyway. I mean, Mora might have nicked it a little bit by like his thigh or his knee, which was enough to confuse Lloris there in goal, and the goal went in. But then Evander gets that pass in the box where he takes it off of the chest with top class, just turns and roofs it right past Lloris for his goal. So Evander, what a game from him. What a young talent he is.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, they spent a lot of money on him. We're talking upwards of 10, you know, like they've now spent Portland Timbers on this roster. We talked about how deep the roster. They've spent a boatload of money on this team over the years in building this team up. So,
but yeah, they're sitting in 10th place. They're sitting in 10th place in the West. They are way too talented for that. I mean, but look, they have conceded 16 goals on the season already. So that is difficult to overcome, even if you have all that. Those stars on your team, that talent on your team.
Yeah, now I think he's now at 4 goals and 3 assists, Evander, if they give him an assist on the Mora thing, because the first goal, who knows if Mora touched it. They both were kind of looking at each other like, hey, did you touch it? Did I touch it? You know, like they were kind of laughing about it. They don't care. Nobody cares. It's 1-0 at the time. But 4 goals and 3 assists this season. I thought Evander was kind of underperforming last year. You know, like, I mean, he's all the talent in the world.
I could see that.
But it takes time to get into the, you know, he's a new signing, big money signing coming from, you know, a different, you know, I believe he was playing in Denmark. So you don't know how you know, just trying to get adapted and all that, you know, life on and off the pitch. We've seen it a million times. It takes a while. So now I think you're kind of seeing the real Evander. I don't think he was very good last year, to be perfectly honest.
He seems very comfortable this year, very confident. He likes where he's at right now. I've seen interviews. And I've heard that and seen that in him, and it shows on the pitch as well.
Yeah, it is. But you're right. It's not showing up yet in the standings, and I think they're underperforming that way. But it's early.
Yes.
I don't believe Portland Timbers as constructed unless, injuries are a possibility to any team, so we have to always throw that. I don't think that's a team that misses the playoffs again. I just don't.
Oh, and if they get in, that's a dangerous team if they get in.
But Mario, as you say, they give up too many goals too.
They do. Yeah, they got to fix that for sure.
Regular season, you might be able to kind of skirt your way through that. But I also agree with Steve Cherundolo that it was kind of some too many mistakes defensively for LAFC to really think you're going to get a win. Now, you're up a man for 40 minutes, then you think you're going to get a win, right? When Bogus hits that set piece to tie it, I thought, okay. Yeah. But Portland, to their credit, we'll end on this in terms of talking about this particular match. To Portland's credit, and I said it a little bit during the broadcast, I don't know if you agree because we really didn't talk about it. I thought Phil Neville didn't allow them to just defend completely. You know what I mean? Like they weren't putting 10 men in front of Maxime Crépeau, or, well, at that time, James Pantemis. They weren't putting him within 20 yards of goal and just saying, hey, we're bunkering in. I mean, they went forward. They held onto the ball at times. They didn't get a lot of big chances, certainly, down a man. But they didn't just strictly the subs were active in terms of putting on wingers just for fresh legs to pressure the ball up higher, you know, and maybe they could get a breakaway or, so, you know, maybe they're thinking they get a counterattack out of it or something. I got to give Phil Neville credit on that point that Portland did not just, okay, we're going to pray for 40 minutes. You know, because that never works, Mario, right? I mean, you always give up a goal, it seems, when you try to do that for that long.
And Portland capitalized on all the LAFC mistakes. It wasn't too many, but the ones that there were, Portland capitalized on those. And you're hoping when you do make a mistake defensively, hopefully you can get back and recover the ball. But that wasn't the case in this one against Portland.
Yeah. And one last thing on the Ordaz foul at the end, if you want to say it wasn't a foul, I'm not going to argue. You can't fault him. He's just, it's totally natural. He didn't do anything like, oh man, you can't commit a foul there. What are you doing? You know what I mean? Like there's sometimes where you're at the end of a game, you're like, oh, don't foul there. Like, you know, that's a foul. He's just battling for the ball. It was unlucky. I can see why the referee did make the call, but I can't argue with Ordaz by any means.
He got right back up and played the next day, right? He played the next day for LAFC too. Like, he's been doing that all season long. He's been going up and down. So that's been kind of cool.
Great transition to our youth movement. We want to talk about some of the younger players for LAFC. Unfortunately, David Martinez still suffering with the back injury now after missing a game for a red card. So that's not ideal, certainly. We wish him the speediest of recoveries. As you mentioned, Ordaz goes on to LAFC 2 the next day against Ventura County, which is, of course, LA Galaxy's MLS Next Pro team, and scores.
Again.
Gets a goal there, scores again for LAFC 2. So great work for him. We did see Tomas Angel available on the bench. He did not get any minutes. Of course, Christian Oliveira ran his guts out again before being subbed out later in that match. And I liked what Omar Campos did coming off the bench, Mario, against, Portland was down a man all that time. But so he had the freedom, certainly, to get more involved in the attack, and he did. I liked a few of the crosses that came in, almost got an assist on one of those plays. So I like what Omar Campos delivered there in that just limited minutes in terms of, going forward. Now he's going to get back into full health. He's coming off a little bit of a knock. So he wasn't like he played, 90 minutes or anything, but he's getting there as well.
You know
so
what I like, Dave, is we're starting to see a little bit of depth. We're building up that depth with LAFC. We got Chanot, we got Kamara, and then you get back Campos back from his international duty, and then you're starting to see, we're starting to build that depth, and we're not even done building the roster. So that's a good thing to see there for LAFC.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, but I do think David Martinez, as we know, it's a big loss if any game he's not playing, because that depth, when he's coming off the bench, even more dangerous, is a substitute in the 60th minute to just create so much one-on-one against tired defenders. That is a huge advantage if you can have that coming off the bench in MLS, no doubt. We transitioned into some other young players around MLS who are going to have an impact, Mario, and we saw it this weekend in one game I watched. Certainly there were a few others, and we'll talk about a few, but specifically New York City, NYCFC, finally kind of piecing together a really good performance. Now, granted, it is against a team that, in my estimation, is one of the worst in MLS right now. There's no getting around that in New England Revolution. But you're at home. You got to beat a bad team. You go out and do it. And it's not that NYCFC won the game. It's who scored in this match. And these kids, wow, and I say kids. Agustin Ojeda, I don't think he's 20 yet. He scores the first goal. He's 19. Julian Fernandez scores the second goal. He just turned 20. A couple of months ago, so he was, coming into the year. I think his birthday was in January, so starting the season, he's barely 20. These two guys are just oozing talent, and man, what great goals. They're scary. I know NYCFC has been struggling, Mario, but when you're building around young guys too, and they have a lot of talent, they love to play the kids there. Wow, these two, I'll tell you what.
You got to love that.
Any team that I'm on, they can play on my team anytime, man. These guys are low.
And if you're an NYCFC fan, Dave, if you're a fan of NYCFC in New York City and you got young talent like that, you're seeing, and then you're seeing the new stadium that's going to come about. That's now, what year is that stadium going to be built?
A couple of seasons. Yeah, I think it's a couple of seasons or something. It won't be done. I mean, I think they're starting it soon, but it won't be available, I believe, till I could be wrong on that. If someone's an NYCFC fan or knows better, hit me up on Twitter at TalkSoccer. I believe it's 2028. Is the plan.
Yeah, I believe that sounds right. I just seen the renderings the other day, and it looks amazing. It looks awesome. Hotels and shopping and this and that. Brand new stadium. So for NYCFC fans, that's an exciting time.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, these two particular players may already be off playing in the Premier League or wherever, but it's the kind of – it's what your organization is about, right? NYCFC always gives minutes to young kids, it seems. And – they perform, bottom line. And Ojeda and Fernandez, they're going to have their ups and downs. They're 19 and 20 years old. But taking nothing away from Ojeda, very talented. Some people may prefer him. I think Julian Fernandez is just, he's so good. I mean, he's one of the best young players I've seen in MLS in a while. And he's just absolutely loaded with talent. I love watching him. And he's just barely coming off the bench. Like, these guys are not, I don't think either one of them has had more than one start. I could be wrong on that, but they're not like they're just now getting their feet under them. And the way NYCFC started, if you're Nick Cushing, you might as well be throwing minutes to the young kids because, frankly, you weren't getting it done anyway, realistically. Now, I think they're turning a corner a bit, but these guys are going to definitely help that. One other young player who's not so young anymore, but I wanted to mention him here, Mario, because it leads into also part of our history. And he's still kind of a younger guy. And the reason I mention him here and now into is Bryce Duke, former LAFC midfielder.
Oh, yeah.
Had a great game for Montreal. Now, he's not showing up on the stat sheet. He's not necessarily pumping in goals, getting a lot of assists yet. Another big win for them in their first home game after six on the road. They even up the record, same record as LAFC, almost the same, I should say. Three wins, three losses, and a draw. They played one less game than LAFC. But the 23-year-old, now get that, he's only still 23.
Is I thought really he was 16. I mean,
yeah, well, he was super, when you met him, probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
We met Bryce Duke back in 2020 when he joined LAFC, of course, part of our history. He played 26 regular season games. I believe he had some time in the Open Cup, too. Don't quote me on that, but he had a few more appearances. 26 regular season appearances, three assists for LAFC back in 2020 and 2021 combined. And I got to tell you, that's a different era in the sense of, obviously, Steve Cherundolo wasn't the man. You know, Bob Bradley was. But I always loved Bryce Duke's talent. Like, the minute you saw him on the pitch, and he came through that Barcelona Academy out in Arizona.
Yes, he did, yeah.
You could see the brain of his at all times. Now, at the time we met him again, he was, oh my gosh, 18, 19. So you knew, you could see that he was also trying to learn still from a guy like Bob Bradley and how, but it was a good fit because Bryce Duke, Mario, one thing we all know about Bryce Duke as a player is, if you need directions on how to get to the goal and score, you ask him because he's always going after goal. Like, he's always looking to go score. So if you're like, hey, which goal are you trying to score? Oh, yeah, there he goes. He's trying to score at that goal, no doubt. He's never never
talented
shot.
Kid, yeah. Great hair, great attitude. I mean, he had it all. He had really it going. Did, yeah. And he spent some time in Miami as well, right?
He did. He played well for Inter Miami. There was, of course, the whole they needed room on this, you know, with what was going on. We all knew where they were headed with Messi and all his friends. And so they made a huge trade to send him to Montreal to get Kamal Miller, to get a ton in general allocation money. They traded Ari Lassiter and Bryce Duke, did Inter Miami, back to Montreal for all that.
Yeah.
And it's worked out, I mean, for both teams in a way. Yeah. I mean, Ari Lassiter is really looking sharp.
He had a goal this weekend.
Yeah. Kamal Miller has since moved on, of course, as we know, to Portland. But he had some good times at Inter. They got that general allocation money. And now Bryce Duke's also finding a nice home in Montreal. And they're starting to build something with Laurent Courtois as their manager. So it worked out for everybody. And I just like the way Bryce Duke plays. I always have. He's a soccer
player. Who else went to Montreal from Miami was Joseph Martinez. And Joseph Martinez, he walked onto the game in the first half and he put the team on his back and he carried them to a victory at home. He got a goal and he's looking good there.
I think he might have an assist in that too. He may not get an assist for that, but yeah, he got the goal and we could have did a little let him cook on that for Joseph Martinez because it was a nice one too. But yeah, you don't want to see him get heated up.
No, you don't.
If you're an opponent of Montreal, that's for sure. It's taken some time since his knee injury. You know, I mean, with the injuries he had, he's not back to the old Joseph, but he's also older too. It's not, yes, it was
he
an injury.
He seems pretty healthy. At the moment, he seems very healthy, very confident, and it seems like he's enjoying his time there in Montreal. And that's good for Joseph Martinez.
Yeah, that's not good for the rest of MLS. What is good for MLS is guys who look good. You mentioned Bryce Duke's hair. That pushes into football fit check on some level.
And you spotted this one out, though, right, Dave? You spotted this one.
Wrapped around Portland, if you can believe it. I hate to say it, but, of course, LAFC went up to Portland. But it was the Timbers' Eric Williamson with some style here, Mario. This is the pregame outfit coming into the match there at Providence Park. They do run across some fans there. They get a chance to interact a little bit before they enter the stadium and you see the little fit here, Mario. You're the man here when it comes to the LAFC Plus podcast. I don't know, I guess fashion coordinator, if you will. What say you about this outfit as you see it first?
There's a lot of things going on with this outfit right here. But first off, the Louis V. Merce that he has going across the jacket there, the varsity jacket. Now, remember last week, we also saw Jesus Murillo rocking his green and white varsity jacket. So maybe that's becoming a a fashion trend here in Major League Soccer players, the varsity jackets. But then he has the off-white kicks to match with the colorways on the jacket.
Yeah,
that's working right there. And you just see the confidence in his face as he's walking up to the stadium. So that's always a good sign of a good outfit. When you feel good and you know you look good, you're going to play good. So that's a big thing about an outfit. Make sure that it makes you feel good, because then you're going to walk good. You're going to feel good. You're going to play good. So I love that.
It's got some Miami vibes with the colors, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of a nice, I do like the black pants with the MERS color. Like, they match a little bit.
Brings it together. Yep.
Also like the graffiti style down the one arm. If you're watching this on YouTube or something, if you get a chance to check out, go check out the picture. They were on it was on the Portland Timbers Twitter feed, social media and everything. This picture. Yeah, I got to say, I don't know if I would love the jacket in my mind if you try to describe it to me, because I'm not very good at this stuff. But as you look at it, it's pretty sharp, I got to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And another fit that we saw, though, Dave, was this one here, which is kind of cool, from Maxime Crépeau in all black. All black, walking up to the stadium and showing the utmost respect to the 3252, clapping it up, waving to them, and then just going out on the pitch and giving it his all against his former club, LAFC. Yeah. He was even getting in the face of some of our players, right? In the heat of the professional games. That's going to happen sometimes.
Him and Sergi got into it.
They
each other back and forth. This is before he got the red card, too. Then he gets a red card. I was expecting the 3252 in this picture to hand him a microphone, and then Maxine goes, "Hello, everyone. I'm Johnny Cash." You know, he's got the
all black true.
He looks good. Yeah, it's very sharp. And
Dave, great, I got to say, though,
to come out and say hello to the 3252.
Exactly. Tremendous. And my heart dropped whenever Maxime went head over heels, right, in that collision with his own player, Arujo. That was kind of scary.
Yes.
But that's just Maxime just being fearless and just being the beast that he is. And he always stands up for his team, right, even when he goes up against his former team. Because I remember him being with our team, with the black and gold, and he went up against Vancouver, his former team, and he was even kind of like scuffling with them and getting in their face. So you would love to see that in one of your guys.
Yeah, he doesn't have any friends on the opposition once the whistle blows, you know, and they're between the lines.
Between those lines, there's no friends.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Mario. Good stuff on Football Fit Check. If you have anybody that you want to highlight for Football Fit Check in the future, maybe we should keep an eye on, hit us up on our social media, at Dave Denholm on Twitter, Dave_Denholm on Instagram for me. Mario, where are you at?
At I am Mario Ruiz on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all that.
Yeah, good for you. I'm not doing the TikTok yet, but that's fine. Nobody needs me on TikTok, that's for sure. Around the rest of MLS, a couple of games we wanted to point out. And Inter Miami at Sporting KC, massive crowd at the old Arrowhead Stadium where the Chiefs play, Sporting Kansas City, then the KC Wiz, and the KC Wizards used to play there, of course, before they built their great new soccer-specific stadium, but they fill the place up.
And over 72,000 there, yeah.
Yeah, Lionel Messi does what he does, gets a goal and assist. He's got five of each in 405 minutes in MLS play. Couldn't save him in the Champions Cup because Monterrey got the win when Messi wasn't on the field. They got two goals on the road in Miami when Messi was still missing with the injury. He tried to come back in the second leg. There's no way Monterrey were going to give him an inch of space when they knew Miami needed at least two goals, maybe more. That series was over in leg one. I don't care what anyone wants to say. You can't score on Monterrey when they know they have to defend like that at home. But he's been lighting it up in MLS, and he's getting healthier, certainly. So that's a bad sign. They win that game 3-2. One player that I want to point out that it's been not bothering me, but Julian Gressel is a fine MLS player. He's been with a few teams now, bounced around a little bit, really good MLS player. He's got five assists for Miami, first of all. So the stats are there, but I don't think he's been fitting in that great. Like, he doesn't look at himself. I don't know if he's carrying an injury or something. And it seems weird to say, and I don't know if other people are noticing it. Maybe you are. If you want to give me a, you know, comment down below, if you're watching on YouTube with this, or hit us up, like I said, hit me up on Twitter @TalkSoccer. if Gressel gets going again, I mean, he's got 5 assists. So the stats, again, they're there. But I just don't think he's like 100% right, or maybe he's not fitting in his position. He just doesn't look like the same player he was a couple years ago to me. So if he starts clicking, it's just something that stuck out to me. Like, if he gets going.
Yeah. I was going to say, Dave, is he in his proper position? Because I know Tata Martino has been kind of fumbling around with positions on some of these players, and that hasn't really worked out when they've been in rotation for Tata Martino. Because I know a lot of people are questioning the job that he is doing with that team, which is a very difficult job to do because, you know, Messi's there and then he's not there, and then Busquets is there and then he's not there because of the big busy schedule. So maybe is Gressel playing out of position? Or
it is a great question to ask, because I do notice that, yes, he doesn't look comfortable. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's not, it's not like he forgot how to play football. He's a good player. He's got 5 assists, but he doesn't really look comfortable at times. And I think he's missing because of that. He's almost thinking too much. I think he's not, it's not just flowing, you know, it's a little bit, it looks harder than it should right now for a guy like Julian Gressel. So maybe if he gets more comfortable now that he knows he's playing out of position a bit, maybe it becomes a little bit easier if he keeps playing it. That's a good point. It's not like the guy forgot how to play by any means, or he's not too old or anything, you know, he's not nothing like that. It's just, if he gets going again, he's not even really clicking. A team that is really clicking, other than the fact that we beat them down, is the LA Galaxy. They go to Vancouver, Mario. A tough place to play on the turf.
Yeah.
3 goals. I mean, they just – Ricky Pooge looks like – LAFC stopped that team. If you really think about it, they stopped the Galaxy. You know, that offense has been rolling against most everybody else. Joseph Paintsil, again, had a great game against Vancouver, who's a very good team coming into this match. This was a tough – like top of the table Western Conference. And Mario, the thing I take from it is LAFC really had one of their best defensive performances against the Galaxy. This team has been lighting everybody else up. And
you know, that they derby got right game back. That derby game went exactly the way LAFC wanted it to go, even though they didn't need the possession at all. But it went exactly how LAFC wanted it to go. And they shut down that dangerous attack from the Galaxy. But 3 goals, like you said, on the road against a very good Vancouver team. I mean, the Galaxy, they lead the West now at the moment. And it was a good reaction for them after losing that derby match. It's a great reaction for them. And this is a team that is still building that chemistry and still has a lot of things to figure out defensively. But if they continue to score goals like that, then they're going to be in the hunt for sure.
Yeah, and especially going up to a turf field like that. Now, I'm not going to pick on turf versus grass. What I'm saying is, when you're a clicking offense, right, and you're really passing the ball, zinging it around like the Galaxy do, they want the ball, they want to go after you. Sometimes it's hard to adjust to how hard should you hit that pass, right? How hard, like, it's on turf. It's different. That can slow down a really great offense just by itself a bit. Ricky Pooge put up one of the best passes you're going to see all year. Let's be honest. I mean, that thing let him cook. I hate to say it. I mean, we never want to praise the Galaxy, but dude, that pass was pinpoint perfect to Paintsil to just take one touch and score. And a lot of times teams have a hard time adjusting to the turf that way, my point. You know what I mean? Like you're flying offensively on a field like LAFC or the Galaxy play on this beautiful grass. It's all, everything's, you know, flying around. You wet it down a little bit before a match and you got nothing but good, smooth, whatever. And then you go to a turf field, you got to get, you didn't take the Galaxy anything, frankly. I got to say it. And I know we handled them. No problem. This is not, I'm starting to come around where they're not overrated. Yeah, we beat them. We deserve to win. We were the better team. Bottom line, I don't care what anyone says. But this is not a team that's going away. They're not going to fall back to the pack. Yes, they got some defensive issues.
Yeah.
It might stop them from maybe winning a supporter shield or really going deep in the playoffs. Absolutely. You got to defend. But this offense is not going anywhere other than just they're going to be right there. They're going to be hard to beat.
They definitely made a lot of improvements, and that's not hard to see from that offseason.
No, you're right. And it wasn't hard to do, really. They needed it. They were bad. I mean, they needed to
improve. It wasn't hard to do. Good question. Not that hard. I mean, good point there.
Like, I love Will Koontz. I love Will. I saw him at the Galaxy LAFC match. We said hello, whatever. I joked around a little bit. And he's doing a great job, but come on, it's not like it wasn't rocket science that you have to figure out that they needed more talent. You know, they weren't that good. So
yeah,
he's doing a great job, but it wasn't, you know, like he knew what he had to do. It's not exactly like it took him forever to figure it out either, you know? So, and they've gotten the players, you know, but here's the thing. I said it. LAFC looked made Paintsville look very average.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and that's guy who everybody was talking MVP. And okay, he's made a big difference. It's the other guy. It's the kid. It's Gabriel Peck, who, for me, looks the real deal. You know, not that Paintsville's a bad player by any means. He's going to be fine in this league with Ricky Pooge feeding him the ball. But Gabriel Peck, oof. You're going to be lucky.
You talked about Pooge.
And we did. We stopped him too. You know, we stopped Pooge. We stopped Peck. We stopped Payne. Yeah. You know, that
credit to Tarundolo and that defense. They knew exactly what to do. They knew exactly how to handle that game, and it worked out great. But you talked about Pooge and his pass that he made in that game, which reminded me of the pass that Messi made in that game. Sorry, we're going to go back a little bit, but that pass from Messi, wow, that was a thing of beauty to Diego Gomez into space. It was so beautiful in stride, right, for Gomez to just get on the right foot and just, boom, hard to miss that one. But Messi also had a tremendous goal, which I was like, when he hit that, I was like, how does he have so much space? So much space when he receives that ball. Nobody was around him, but that's the genius of Messi, right? It was where he knows how to create that space when he doesn't have the ball. Mm-hmm. He didn't have the ball. But he knew if I stand right here and I get this pass, I'm going to have a lot of space to hit this shot. And that's exactly what happened. I just seen him receive that ball just like, how is he so open, Dave?
I know. But that's one of the effects of greatness is not just finding that space, which you're 100% right. He sees the space better than anyone I've ever seen. It's also where you don't waste another half second with just the slightest off touch before you can take the
shot. Right.
Even if it's a good touch, quote unquote, for a normal player, and he can still get the shot away. If it takes you another split second, the defense can close you down. The keeper can get himself set better. It doesn't take Messi any time. He plays the game at a faster speed. That's the thing. So many people have asked me over the years, well, what makes a player great in this sport versus, you know, people who don't know, even if they don't know a lot about sports and they know I work in sports or whatever, soccer or whatever. And that's if you watch him, most of us who are diehard soccer fans can see it. It's the slightest little things that add up. It really is. Now, of course, his touch is perfect. Yes. Mm-hmm. Most guys isn't. That adds up. His vision is perfect. Most guys aren't. You know, they can't do that as well. So it all starts to add up. It's the speed of play. It's the speed of thought. He doesn't need that extra 0.2 of a second to control the ball a little better to get the shot away, right? Because then the defender would have closed him down. He's wide open because he's Messi and he's so great. Like, that's the difference. And that's what I used to point to Carlos Vela. Now, again, I'm not saying Carlos Vela is better than Lionel Messi. Carlos Vela is better than 99.99999% of the players who've ever played because of those very same things. It's just the slightest little touch. It's putting the ball slightly exactly in front of him better than anybody else. I'm not going to pick on one player, even great players, right?
Yeah.
He's just a little better than the greatest players. He's still a little better because of that. And it's just the smallest things. And you watch it, that pass, not even on the goal. There was a pass earlier in the game where a defender was running between he and his teammate, but Messi put the ball in a spot where his teammate was going to be the only one. The teammate was farther away from him than the defender. He leads him just perfect where neither one of those players, Mario, the defender, or I think it was Julian Gressel, his teammate. Yeah. Neither one of them knew that was coming. Neither one.
He passes them wide open.
Wide open. Exactly. Yeah. No disrespect to those two players, the defender trying to hustle back and Julian Gressel. Neither one of them saw it until it happened.
And also the finish, Dave, on that goal from Messi. It was a knuckler.
Over Emilia's fingers. How do you do that?
Yeah.
He didn't pick a corner out. He blasted it over, then the keeper jumped, and there was about an inch worth of space that ball could fit in where it would be not knocked over the bar, and he found it. Like, how does – Emilia was shaking his head. Like, okay, well, what are you going to do? Like,
that crowd got exactly what they paid for, right? They got to be happy. Even though they lost, they got to be so happy with what they just saw.
I mean, kudos to a lot of those fans who probably weren't happy because they were a lot of Sporting Kansas City fans or a ton. So, but they, you know, wink, wink, in 10 years, they'll say, well, I saw a great, you know, they won't, you know.
Exactly.
You're 100% right. But Colorado San Jose, I hate to end on a game like what would think like, what are you talking about these guys after you're talking about Messi? Nobody like Messi plays for either one of these two teams. Don't get me wrong. But Colorado, they're above LAFC in the standings, right? I mean, this team – does it, this game, they went out to San Jose and beat them 3-0. Mm-hmm. Anytime you do that on the road, that's a big win, especially if you're leaving Colorado, which is a very decided home field advantage with the altitude. I mean, you're going back down to sea level, essentially. You're going to San Jose, who's desperate, and yet you still take advantage of a bad team. And I ask, does this game say more about Colorado or San Jose? And I got to say, I think it says more, believe it or not, about Colorado. Because, because that's normally a time when a bad team or a team that might not be as good as their record, they go stumble on the road, right? They just can't figure it out. And I know San Jose's really struggling. We all know that. They're the worst team. 1-7 now after this, and they're just getting blown out. They've been outscored 20-10 in those 8 games. I mean, it's a mess.
Yeah.
But you're catching them at the right time if you're Colorado. And yet we see it time and time again, Mario, where a team who's maybe we don't know how good they are, they're kind of overperforming, they beat LAFC, they're starting to get in a roll, but are they really – they'll go stumble, right, against a bad team. You should probably go beat if you're going to be a good team. Well, they went and pounded them. I mean, at San Jose, and it wasn't even really close. I think it
tells me – For me, Dave, I think it says a lot about San Jose, Davey, actually.
Well, it does, yes, but
– Colorado earned that early – they earned that early PK, right, which was very questionable, and it was tough to accept if you're if you are San Jose. And then Navarro, he goes and buries the PK. But it's early enough in the match where San Jose has time to get back, especially if you're at home. If you're at your home, you're like, okay, we have time. It was early. But San Jose just never rebounded at all from that. And they got shut out at home, conceding 3 goals as well. So you're shut out and you concede 3 goals. Not a good look for San Jose. They're at the very, very bottom of the entire MLS table. Okay. And with 7 losses, the most losses in Major League Soccer. Wow. It says a lot for San Jose for me.
It does. But my point being on this question is we knew San Jose was dreadful.
Okay.
All right. Even if they would have come back, scraped out a win or even a draw or whatever, they're still pretty bad. Like, I'm impressed with how Colorado went about that business. You know, they got up a goal, like you said. Maybe it was a penalty, maybe a close call, whatever. Maybe it wasn't. But they didn't stop there either. They didn't just give up a goal late and get a draw on the road. Woohoo, we're happy with it. You know, they went out and buried them.
A 3-0 shutout win on the road is very impressive.
That's true. A bad team who's backed against the wall, but you put them down 1-0, go after them again and again and again. And they did. They dominated that game. So I see your point, but I do think Colorado is for real now in a way. Like, they're not going anywhere. They're not the deepest team, so they do have to stay healthy, healthy health-wise. They have to stay healthy. But, that was impressive, I got to say. Even against a bad team, bottom line, they're not very good right now, San Jose Earthquakes. You know who is good is who we're taking on next. We got to look ahead. Schedule moves on, right? We're back at BMO Stadium coming up on the weekend on Saturday, 7 p.m. for the pregame. Now, it's either going to be on ESPN LA 710 and or the ESPN LA app. That's because of the Lakers' upcoming playoff schedule. So just keep an eye on that. We'll have the game for you. Again, it's either on the app or both, ESPN LA 710 and the ESPN LA app. Preview 7 p.m. Mario. Should be an interesting one against a Red Bull team that's never easy. Doesn't matter where you play them.
Yeah, and they earned a well-deserved draw at home against Chicago over the weekend. But Red Bull, they were down a man, but they continue to push forward even though they were down a man and actually had a chance to win the game. They rocked the post twice in the 90th minute. They rocked the post twice in the same sequence. So this says a lot about their fight and their mentality in this Red Bull club. And as they come to BMO Stadium this Saturday, you're going to see some of that talent that they got in Lewis Morgan, Van Zier, Forsberg, and their defense is stingy as well, too. They've only given up 7 goals this season. So it's going to be tough for LAFC to find the back of the net against this fine defensive team and this fine attack.
You speak no lies there. That is exactly right. No doubt about that. Check that out on Saturday. Join us 7 p.m. for the pregame. We appreciate you joining us here on LAFC Plus. Episode 9 is in the books. Episode 10 coming up. Again, we're going to have a contest. Join us for episode 10. We'll lay out some of the rules of that and how you get involved in that for a pair of tickets to see an upcoming LAFC match, my personal season tickets. So we'll have fun with that coming up. Mario, as always, great stuff, man. I can't believe episode 9 in the books. What a good week we've had.
Yeah. In the books, we'll see you at BMO Stadium this Saturday, LAFC against New York Red Bull. Let's go, Davey.